Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there! Welcome everybody to another episode of Fearless, which is my working title. It's working for now. I'm not entirely sure it's going to stay that way, but you know, it works for today. You know, the original intention was to focus on the things that we're all scared of, to examine them. And, you know, after you really look at something and you break it down, it stops having any power over you, and you can't fear it. It's very difficult to fear things that you completely understand. You know, you just have to learn to maneuver around it. So a lot has happened in the last week. There's really been a lot of amazing things. There's the Project Veritas drop, which was, you know, we'll go into that soon enough. But as a Texan, I will say this before I elaborate on that. I'm kind of okay with some of the things said. I saw Eric Clapton. I really want to talk about this first because it was such an amazing experience. Now, number one, Eric Clapton is an absolute legend. He is amazing on the guitar. And, you know, if you like a good blues, you know, or you just like Clapton, he's absolutely amazing. He's 78, and you know, I kind of feel that this will be his last tour. There's so many unknowns with the future, and for just a moment, it was nice to feel the comfort of the music that I've listened to my entire life. It was absolutely brilliant. Just to watch him, you know, you get a chance to go on YouTube, look up the Eric Clapton Live Houston. So I drove down to Houston. I actually stayed with my friend, Kim Houston. And she was on last week. Kim was on last week. She's a realtor. She's a blast. She is so much fun. I spent the weekend with her, had an amazing time. We saw Eric Clapton. We went out. Oh my goodness. It was so much fun. I recommend 5 out of 5 stars, and yes, Kim's fun. So if you happen to be looking to relocate within Texas or close enough, give her a call. She is a lot of fun. So I can tell you, I sat there next to her as she was working and looking for properties and looking at properties. She's working pretty hard. But she made it look fun. So now I'm looking at going to real estate school to go along with all the other schools I've gone to. But she made it look fun, and she really enjoys it. And she's just fun. You know, if you're going to have an experience with purchasing a home, going to be serious enough. But you know, if you have somebody along with you that's just fun, it takes the monotony and the overwhelming sense of fear or dread. It kind of just mellows that down. Now, Kim and I have known each other for years. She is instrumental in helping me recover from when I was very sick. I met her I met her at a point in time in my life when I was struggling to live. And I don't mean that in a mental sense. I mean that when I finally went to see the infectious disease doctor, he was shocked that I was walking. And I met her at that time. And I really believe that the words she said and her way of saying things helped me dig deeper, learn more. And I finally went to see the infectious disease doctor, which that takes a while to get into. And if you're not paying, if it's not a cash pay doctor, it's you're not going to get a good result. So, you know, it wasn't cheap, but it helped me bridge the gap between getting to see the infectious disease doctor and not. So she actually kind of helped me get my hope and my love of life back. And for that, I am always, always thankful. I will always be thankful to her. And, you know, I can't quantify, you know, but I'm alive, and oh my gosh, what an amazing life this is. So anyway, going on about Kim, if you're looking to buy a home, which is kind of a major commitment, she's a really good person to call. I found that for me personally, she's just a really good person to call anytime. But if you're looking to make a major transition in your life and move from wherever you are to the fantastic and amazing state of Texas, give her a call. She'll definitely take care of you. So anyway, Kim and I went to go see Eric Clapton, and he's been in the news quite a lot because he took the AstraZeneca shot, and he had an adverse reaction. And he took the shot. He didn't really, I don't think he really wanted to in the beginning. He talks about, you know, I've read a lot of interviews with him, and he speaks about how his children were so excited about it, and, you know, his friends in the music industry, oh, so excited about it, and so pumped, and so, so absolutely pro-vaccine. Oh, yes, this is going to save the world. We need this. But he had a difficult time. There was a time when his hands wouldn't work. And his entire life has been around what his hands can do, because his guitar playing is legendary. And if he didn't have that, what would he do? He had already announced a tour. And, you know, I can't even imagine how hard that would be. You know, I remember when I had my reaction to the Tdap vaccine in 2013, which I will reference every day for the rest of my life and every opportunity I can to talk about that, because if that reaction can happen with me, it can happen to anyone, regardless of the shot. So, you know, Eric Clapton has been demonized. If you search his name, you're going to find things like goes on an anti-vaccine diatribe. You know what is not anti-vaccine? Getting a freaking vaccine. I'm just saying. He got two shots. Does that make him anti-vaccine? No, it doesn't. That makes him critical of something he had that he had an adverse reaction to. To something still in the trial phases And while we all know somebody that's had the shots and they say, oh, I'm just fine, it's safe for everyone, well, okay, you're just fine for now because you haven't had this. You haven't had it for over a year. You've had it for 6 months. You've had it for 8 months. Do you really know things are just fine? Do you have a baseline of what your health was like? How's your heart? How's, you know, are you having tiny microscopic blood clots in your body? No, we don't know these things because people only judge what they can see and what they can experience. But they're not able to look at a microscope inside their own body. And, you know, so if somebody tells me they have a bad reaction to a shot, I'm going to believe them because they have absolutely nothing to gain. Nobody gets paid to speak out about these things. Nobody. However, the pharmaceutical industry has a endless wealth of wealth and resources. They can pay anybody to do anything. It goes without mentioning how many natural doctors died within a short amount of time, all from, you know, suicide. Any doctor that found a cure for something, they killed themselves. They're found in a river. They drowned. There's always some kind of, the people that speak out have the most to lose. The people that speak against it have the most to lose. You know, celebrity endorsements, political endorsements, all of that. They're a dime a dozen. And just because your favorite entertainer was paid to tell you it's safe doesn't make it so. Just because the guy that is responsible for botching a lot of treatment for AIDS patients back in the 80s, just because he's been elevated to a stance, which, by the way, is completely unnatural. He's been elevated to the stance, of course I'm speaking of Fauci, that is, it makes absolutely no sense. I think he was being considered for like sexiest man of the year. No. Let me just say no about 15 more times. He's like nearly 80. And I'm not saying that, you know, 80-year-olds can't be sexy, but come on. That's trying a little too hard. Maybe if you yourself are in your 70s, 60s maybe, I don't know, but I'm in my 40s and I'm like, you know, and that doesn't mean anything bad. It's just, you know, when you're 80s, you're just really not, I don't know. I guess you're like booming granny. Shout out to all my Generation X friends that will understand that Beastie Boys reference. But yeah, no, that's gross. So, you know, he's been, you know, and all his words are being taken as gospel. Sometimes he says things that have no legitimate basis. It's like he just pulls it from his backside. And, it's just astounding to me that he can flip-flop so many times. And the cult of Fauci is right there waiting for more things for him to say or for him to do more things. And it's just stop. Oh, my gosh. So back to Eric Clapton. So if you do a search for his name. Okay, so apparently he went on a rant, and they call it a racist rant, in 1976. That's like last century and then some. That was before I was born, and I turned 44 next week. So I'm not really the picture youth at this point in my life. I'm kind of cool with it, you know, being in my 40s, which is kind of nice. But 1970, that was a long time ago. So if they're pulling stuff up from 1976, that's really, that reach, you know, that's just, that reach is, that's an incredible reach. So I can't even wrap my mind around that. That is just so hard. I can't fathom that, because that is older than me. And I have grandkids. So what the heck? Oh my gosh. That's really, really reaching. And there's a lot of reach regarding him and speaking out about the vaccination. You know, there's a lot of dumbing down the adverse reactions. People are suffering from this shot. There are so many people suffering. People are dying. There's whistleblowers coming out saying that I think it's over 45,000 deaths within 3 days of getting the shot, which absolutely, I believe that. I'm not even going to second guess that. We know our VAERS system is underreported. There's times that, you know, just any general shot is underreported by anywhere between 10% minimum. And that was a Harvard study that spoke of the underreporting of VAERS. There's a yellow card system in England, but there was a while when VAERS just kind of shut down. And there's several different reporting systems, and they do not all work in synchronicity with each other. So the true number of deaths and the true number of damages, absolutely. There are too many scientists that have everything to lose speaking out against this. Doctors are walking away from hospitals because they're being forced to take it. Nurses are walking away. If we really were in a massive, horrible pandemic, would hospitals be so quick to release the people that chose not to be part of this experiment? And it is an experiment. The trials are not over, and the FDA-approved Comirnaty, not even in production. What we have available is emergency use authorization. And as long as everything has emergency use authorization and is also making the companies billions of dollars, they will continue. They will continue to downplay or degrade any medication that works to help. To help control this, to help you get through it, to keep you from your oxygen levels from tanking and dying because you're so hypoxic. And even at that, the death rate is ridiculous. You have it's like a 0.00000, like there's zeros. But even if you just have a 0.1% of dying, you have to look at the people that are dying. They're older. They're usually within the same age group that mortality affects anyway. They're severely obese. And they have comorbid issues. Okay, well, you know, we all have a timeline. We're all going to die. We know this. There are two truths in life. You're born, and then you're dead. Everything in between is a unique experience of consciousness, and we're all going to die. So being scared of death from something that appears to be less deadly than the actual flu, and if I'm wrong about that, I'm sure I'm going to have some shouting at me online. But it seems to be less deadly than a lot of other things. You know what else is deadly? Walking under a tree with ripe coconuts, that will kill you. Also deadly, sharks. Hey, you know, let's wear complete suits of armor if we're going to be out in the ocean, because we might get bit by a shark. You know, there's a video of somebody in a beekeeper suit just trolling the school board over the masks because there's a chance they might get stung by a random bee. And I think that's, while it's funny, it's also a very sad commentary on where we are as a society. And if Eric Clapton, one of the most amazing and legendary guitar player, a man that Jimi Hendrix himself was looking for when he was on stage to help him come tune his guitar. If he is losing friends, if he's lost friends, if people won't speak to him, if his own family has turned against him because he said, hey, I'm injured. What does that say about the rest of our society? Why has our society come to value the words of a pharmaceutical industry, which has absolutely everything to gain and nothing to lose? Why are they choosing the words of a pharmaceutical industry and carefully placed mouthpieces? And by carefully placed mouthpieces, I mean everybody on the news channels. From your morning news to your evening news, you know, it's all paid. It's all paid. RFK Jr. Speaks about that, about how he's been told that if, because in a non-election year, roughly 75% of the ad revenue comes from the financial companies. And if it comes from the financial companies and they do a hit piece that instills fear in the financial companies or makes people think twice about the pharmaceutical industry, that person's gone. They've lost their career. You can watch it with Ivory Hecker at, I hope I said her name right, at Project Veritas. And, you know, there's so many journalists that have been silenced. Ben Swan, oh my gosh, amazing. I've been following him since before the whistleblower came forward back in, was it 2015, 2016, regarding the MMR. And its disastrous impact on the black males. You know, his channel on Telegram is of protests in the cities. You know, he's absolutely amazing. He documents these protests and cities all across the United States, and I'm looking at the other countries and I'm thinking, you know, look at how amazing they are. They're all joining together and protesting. And if that kind of thing is happening here in the United States, we really don't know about it. And that's for a reason. They want us to feel marginalized and alone. If you post content online and it is of anything casting doubt, you get flagged for misinformation or harmful information. I got flagged for sharing a link to Project Veritas, their latest release, which, you know, honestly, you find that. We'll talk about that for a minute. I have so many tabs open on my computer at any given time. So it's not as serious as the last expose. So I want to read this. It's an FDA official. Taylor Lee, the FDA economist, said to go to the unvaccinated and blow the COVID shot into them, like blow dart it into them. Okay, that's not cool. And says the census goes to door to door if you don't respond. So we have the infrastructure to do it, meaning the forced vaccinations. And goes on to say, I mean, it'll cost a lot of money, but I think at that point, I think there needs to be a registry of people who aren't vaccinated. Although that's sounding very much like Nazi Germany. So, yeah, it really is. That's sounding entirely too familiar. And why is this happening again? How is this happening again? And goes on to say that, going to go door to door and stab everyone. Just, oh, it's just your booster shot. There you go. Now, I don't agree with this person until this point. So if you put every anti-vaxxer like sheep from the rest of the world and you go, okay, you be you in Texas until we deal with this pandemic. I'm cool with that. Not going to lie. I am way cool with that. I'm making the guacamole. Bring it. Oh my gosh. Does this mean, hold on, if Texas, if we get to close Texas off, does that mean we're our own country again? Because I got to tell you, a lot of Texans still think that we are still our own country. And, you know, I'm really into this. I like this idea. I think it's brilliant. Love it. I'm already here. A lot of my favorite anti-vaccine activist friends are also here. But the ones that aren't, that I would love to see, the ones that I absolutely love to see, and I'll go to symposiums from time to time. We all meet up. It's a lot of fun. They're the most amazing people ever. If that means they're all like within the state, well, I might get emotional, but I'd like to order a round of margaritas and Corona with lime. Let's think of other stereotypical Texan things. Tacos for everyone. Speaking of tacos, I remember when Mitt Romney was running for president, he promised, I think it was a promise, that if Obama won, there would be taco trucks on every corner. I'm waiting for that, just saying, because, and you know, I'm from Texas. Food trucks are sources of delicacies and good food. I mean, you can legitimately go into a gas station and get some of the best barbecue of your life. You can get some of the best tacos of your life. And so food trucks, bring this on. You know, I am for this. I think this is brilliant. I'd like to expand on all the anti-vaxxers coming to Texas because it would serve as a control group for those that have been injected, that have been conned into it, and for those of us that have been able to hold out. The problem here is that we have companies like Tyson, for example, dictate that everybody get the shots. Doesn't matter if you have a family history of Guillain-Barré or heart problems or death shortly after the shots. You gotta take your chances, and it makes me very angry. There are people within Tyson that need to be famous because of them forcing this on somebody. It's not just Tyson; it's the other companies that are forcing and mandating these shots. It's not right. This is going to put undue burden with the president's latest decree that, you know, if you have over 100 employees, they must be vaccinated and so on. That puts a lot of undue stress and burden on the ones that just have maybe 100 employees. You know, that's not fair. It's not fair to put that kind of pressure on companies that have just barely around 100 employees, because not all of them are super big. They don't all have the resources to do that. Another thing that's going on, truckers are having a problem. We've got stuff at ports. We've got stuff that needs to be picked up. There's a lot of burden being put on truckers, and I am learning this firsthand from people I know personally that are affected by this. You know, if you're listening, I want you to absolutely pay attention and do your best to prepare for this winter. Dried goods, you know, I'm Texan, so of course I'm going to say a good pantry of beans and rice. Well, they form a complete protein when together. But, you know, your beans, your rice, your peas, your dried foods, all of that. Make sure you've got a good stock. And I'm not exactly telling you to be prepper prepared. Sorry. You know, but it wouldn't hurt. Worst case scenario to having preparedness is that you're prepared. You know, I grew up in the country, and I didn't realize that growing up in the country will prepare you for a lifetime of being a prepper. So, you know, you tend to have a good amount of essentials at your house at any given time. I also recommend that you befriend somebody with Lyme disease, because they are a wealth of information, especially if they have had to treat themselves in some form or another. Just pick up Dr. Richard Horowitz's book, read Dr. Klinghart's work, you know, Stephen Buhner. Become prepared. Become familiar with the herbs that they discuss. If you don't have a Lyme friend, that's a quick way to have a Lyme resource. And, you know, the resources within the Lyme community are amazing. Vitamins, they tell you what does what, the herbs, what will help each issue. You know, there's a lot of cross-referencing. I do a lot of cross-referencing regarding the various issues. And a portion of the time, I've got the herbs in tincture form. Because I use it for Lyme or Babesia or Bartonella or any one of the other issues that go along with it, brain fog. So, you know, there's that. And speaking of Lyme medication, ivermectin, is always in the news. And there's a new hit piece out on it. I had pulled up. Basically, it talks about, oh my gosh, yeah, stay away from sites like Gizmodo, cracked.com. You know, places like that are not a good place to get information. I'm looking at this, and it's just reducing the ivermectin. Kind of reduces it, and it says, hey, but by the way, it does this, and that's good, but, you know, it's just not good for the virus of the year. Well, there's a lot of research that proves it to be. It says, some people who often distrust vaccines or have downplayed the pandemic. Well, okay, so we've got this pandemic, but it's an inflated pandemic. So let's say grandma goes to the hospital because grandma's got heart problems and grandma likes to eat too many Twinkies. You know, grandma's had a few heart attacks, you know, all that stuff. You know, grandma's not super healthy. Grandma's got problems. She goes in, she tests positive for a presence of any virus in her body within the last 2 weeks, or, you know, because there's no test for, we all know this, there's no C19 test. So let's just say grandma goes in and, look, she's got some kind of infections. It's registering on this PCR. So now grandma's got COVID. They're going to stick grandma on COVID, COVID positive ward. So if grandma doesn't actually have COVID, when they test, she gets a false positive. Grandma's going to have COVID soon enough. And you know who's going to die of COVID? Grandma. Even if she goes in, has a heart attack, flatlines right there. If she has COVID detected, if they take a postmortem sample and determine she has COVID, what, grandma died with it? Did grandma die from it? No. This goes back to George Floyd. He had C19. That would kill him. I mean, could that be arguable in court? A lot of us have seen his death because it was all over the internet, and I watched it in absolute horror, and I am telling you, when I saw the life flicker out of that man's eyes, it had nothing to do with the virus, no test for. I think that's important to know. We have resources in this country. I was listening to Dr. Ben Marble, who I suggest following. Listening to him do an interview on Alex Jones, of all places. So I listened to that, and I just love him. He said some things that hit home, that, you know, like, okay. Let's see. He says, so basically, when you reach the conclusion that all the decisions that work, they use, are designed to maximize death, then all the other decisions make a whole lot of sense. Yeah, hey, look, if they're looking to make those numbers go up so that they can put people in fear, then they will. A fearful population is very easy to control. I absolutely suggest learning about the MK Ultra experiments in the 1950s. It talks, you'll learn about use of masks to control the breathing, create submissiveness, And also the use of fear to control people. If an authority figure tells people, there's like the milligram experiment, there's several experiments on people. And when not looking, most people will do as they're told. Very few will stand up. And, you know, right now we are at, in retrospect, this is going to be one of the largest genocides in history. We watched people line up for an experiment to test, you know, to help out the new polio. And, you know, in their minds and in their social circles, they're heroes. And bless their hearts. I mean, my goodness, some of these people, their hearts are made of absolute gold. And they are, you know, they wanted to do this. They wanted to help because there's a pandemic and so many people dying. And okay. They say it's safe. Okay. Talk to me in 5 years. See how you are in 5 years. Do you have dementia in 5 years? Do you have kids? If you don't already have kids, are you able to have kids? Because the Chinese research shows that the spike protein has an affinity for the ovaries and the spleen, the liver. I believe the testes too. That's kind of serious. That's absolutely very serious. So not only does it affect reproduction, miscarriages, and 83% of the women that had the shot while pregnant, if that doesn't make people scared of it, I don't know what does. There's two confirmed infants that have died from drinking breast milk from their mothers after they've had both shots. If there's two that are publicized, how many are being hidden? Because we see they only publicize very little, very little. There's never going to be any real honesty within the major news media, and they've bought out a lot of the smaller news. I can't stress this enough. Just because your favorite newscaster says it, or even your favorite person, and even the things I say, and I won't say it if I haven't already been down the rabbit hole on it entirely too many times, but don't trust what anyone says. If this means you have to go through a different search engine, do it. If this means you need to get a if this means you need to route your internet through Sweden to get a less filtered internet, whatever it means, do it. And if you do, copy it, make physical copies, because you know what is happening? There's a lot of information that was on the internet 6-7 years ago that's not there anymore. So many bookmarks I have lead to nothing. And there's so much information being lost, so much history being erased. And look at us now. Look at us. See where we are and how our proximity is to the Nazi Germany. You know, it didn't start out overnight. It didn't start at the beginning because, you know, they wanted to just put some people into the fire. It started out by a disinformation campaign about the Jewish people, making fun of them. Well, anti-vaxxers have been the butt of jokes for a very long time. And I honestly, I don't, in my lifetime, in this time in the movement, I'd say this about 8 years in the movement, I've maybe met a handful of true anti-vaxxers that were not vaccinated themselves, didn't vaccinate their children. You know, you don't find that very often. What I do find are people that trusted the science and they themselves got vaccinated and they got hurt. They were never the same. There are more vaccine-injured people than any of us will ever realize. They have the ability to artificially stimulate your immune system. And with that, they have the ability to stimulate your immune system so that your immune system begins to attack your own body. If you look at the insert, any of them that have inserts, you'll see a plethora of autoimmunity. And, you know, that's risky because those are actual real diseases that you will never recover from. Mikovits speaks about certain autoimmunities and various strains of THC. If they're still available to watch, I absolutely recommend it. But they're probably all censored at this point because, you know, kind of how things are. That's where we are in this world. So there are people that have drank the Kool-Aid and they believe that the anti-vaxxers are the cause of all the problems. Well, a faulty, leaky vaccine is going to cause problems. I mean, you no doubt about that. They've come out and said, hey, you know, the shot doesn't protect you from getting it. You could get a breakthrough case. You know what? If breakthrough cases are possible, then herd immunity can never be reached. Even if a dart gun was used with all the people, we would still have diseases and other circulating illnesses as a result of these poorly designed excuses to inject people with. I recommend everybody look into the ferret studies. It's harsh, and there's a lot of information to be learned from the ferret studies. Never really moved it on to another animal trial. They went straight to humans. There are whistleblower reports of the mRNA being attached to prions, which is like mad cow disease. So what we're going to see an epidemic of, if we're not already seeing it, because it's been noted that in some people, after they get the second shot, their cognitive abilities begin to decline. And it just kind of goes downward. And elderly people just boom, you know, grandma's here today, gone tomorrow. It's sad. But what we're going to see in the next 5, 15, 20 years is these brown diseases where slowly but surely the brain starts to fold in itself and it causes cognitive decline, and eventually it's so hard to wrap your head around because we all have somebody we care for that has had to take the shot. It has been forced to take the shot. Or even if you're listening, if you've taken it, I've read that there are either the quercetin, zinc, and D every day will help remove prions, and then I've also read that there's no way to get rid of them. Just trying your best. Thank you for staying with me while I was disconnected. This has happened enough. So I guess this is going to be a small thing for the show being kicked off the air, especially if I talk about sensitive subjects. I have a feeling if I was talking about, I don't know, the Dallas Cowboys and, you know, their latest game or whatever, I wouldn't be kicked off. Just kind of where we're at. There's no benefit to anybody speaking out against any of this. It's done. Everybody I know that speaks out has had fearful moments. There's a lot of people that have been followed. It's scary. It can be really scary at times. And I even spoke about this on a past podcast. So anyways, I'm going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we have the amazing JC Lopez on. And let me tell you, after we got off of off the podcast last week where she was talking, we were talking and I think she went on for about 30 minutes and she was so passionate and everything she had to say was impactful. And I thought, everybody needs to hear this. Everybody needs to hear this. Because, there's just something about somebody feeling empowered and speaking of empowerment and how you can empower yourself that is absolutely inspirational. And we all need to hear this. So when we come back, we'll be speaking with her.
Thank you, everyone, for coming out tonight. These vaccine passports are driving me insane. Can you believe there are stores that would rather have no customers than to allow someone shop without a vaccine? I went into a store recently to buy a chaise longue. The gene therapy bouncer said, "I cannot sell you this unless you show me your vaccine passport." Like he is the only store selling furniture. I can go on OfferUp and just buy one from a regular person for half price. He said he would rather have no customers than to sell me any furniture without my online passport. Everyone needs to know everyone's health records now. So I asked him, "When was the last time you took Viagra? Did you ever have an irregular period? Whenever someone gets broke, they go broke." I talked to the manager. He told me it is not his fault. He said they might have to close their business because no one wants to work for them. So I asked him, "Why would someone want to work for you if you make them wear a scam all day and they need to get a gene therapy to come in the building?" He said he can make employees even take a microchip. I told him, "Well, good luck getting your unemployment." He said, "I don't want to die from getting Rona. I told him, don't worry, you will die from the Rona gene therapy. What a rube. You really have to be a stupid if you think you need the same gene therapy every 6 weeks to stop a disease that has a cure rate of 99.9997%. There was a guy that got the Rona vaccine. He died in about 10 hours. The doctor said it could have been much worse if he did not get the gene therapy. How much worse would it be than death? Is the CDC going to arrest you in your next life? Is God going to say, I was going to let you into heaven? But since you did not get the anti-human gene therapy, you have to go see the big guy downstairs? There is a big thing with liberals now. They say there is no such thing as gender. Seriously. They say, I hate gender. How do you hate gender? It is like saying, I hate numbers. All numbers should be the same. These liberals, they think that men can now get pregnant. Yes, it is true. They think Donald Trump just banned men from getting pregnant. But Biden somehow legalized men having babies. These jokers think seriously that eggs somehow can chase down sperm and get them pregnant. Liberals also say there are over 1,000 genders now. My only question about all these new genders being made up as we speak. What do these new private parts look like? I just want to see what these other parts look like in case one replaces my junk. On the planet I live on, you either have a hole, or a hole puncher.
And we are back. Are you with me?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Amazing. Yes. Yay. You know, Broccoli Man, for everybody, Broccoli Man is on YouTube, other places. You know, you just gotta love Broccoli Man. FYI, if you have forgotten your computer's charge cord and you need to slip out of the room and run through the house and get it, that is the ad. I'm like, oh, hold on. I need the charge cord. Ah, so yeah. Yay. Well, I'm really glad to have you on. I absolutely enjoyed speaking with you last week. And, you know, I walked away from that conversation feeling empowered. And, you know, empowerment is essential for where we are in this world right now. So many people are living in fear. They feel that they can do nothing. They feel hopeless, scared. And, you know, if you just empower yourself a little bit, that can help alleviate those symptoms. You know, you go from being fearful to fearless. And that's kind of the point of the whole podcast. You know, the whole podcast was born out of a vision I had, which is coming to fruition, and the absence of fear, of conquering your fears, of conquering all that which you're told to be scared of. And, you know, wow. So I'm so excited to have you on.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be back.
So let's talk about the movie you screened last Friday night. And how did that go?
It went pretty well, I think. We had probably about 60 in attendance, which may not sound like a whole lot, but most of that was, most of that movement of getting people in there was really over the last maybe week and a half before the showing. We've been in the process of looking to buy a house. My granny passed away. My brother-in-law was deployed. There was like so much going on all at once. My sister had come to visit. I completely neglected on really marketing for it. that I even forgot to write to the newspaper and send out the press release for the film. And so, you know, I called a mentor-like friend of mine, and I asked him, and I said, you know, I just don't think I have enough time to pull this off. There's been so much going on. I don't know what to do. Maybe I should just reschedule. And I said, I need you to tell me, do I need to soldier up and just, like, move forward, or do you think that rescheduling would be better to get more people in the seats? And he reminded me, in more words, but he reminded me that it's not about the number of bottoms you put in those seats, but it's getting the right people, getting the message out to the right people, because you can have 500 people in the seats and every single one of them walk away from the film and not do anything about what they just saw. But you can have 20 people in the seats and five of them do something about what they saw, which is better. Well, I'd rather have a smaller number of people, but have people ready to get organized and put what they see to use and empower them. And so I decided just to go ahead and move forward, and I'm so glad that I did. It's a huge success, huge success. Girl, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, I was full on, you know, not formally diagnosed, but all the symptoms were there of just being full on agoraphobic, terrified of leaving my house. I was terrified of speaking to strangers. I was terrified, and it was all just irrational fears. But, you know, we had pretty recently moved here from out of state, and, you know, it was just, I was just terrified. I had no friends, no support network. You know, it was just so, all so overwhelming to me. So, you know, moving from, you know, if I went somewhere, I had to know what time I was leaving so I know how long to expect to be there, because if I went over that time, I would just start, have the beginnings of just a horrible, horrible anxiety attack. And, you know, fast forward 6 years, you know, I'm hosting a film showing, speaking in front of people, half of whom I don't know, trying to, trying to empower others, trying to motivate others to see what I see, and that's what we can do about the state of our society and our nation and our state today. And so it was such an accomplishing feeling. It reminded me of when when I gave birth to my daughter without pain medications, and how accomplished I felt and how proud of myself I felt afterwards. So it was so good. It was really just, the feedback was fantastic. You know, people coming up to me afterwards saying, I want to show this film too. I want to help get this out. I want to show this. What do I do? How do I do that? And that was probably my favorite part, because I knew out of those four people that came up to me and said they wanted to do this too, and saying thank you so much for this and for putting this on, I had accomplished what I wanted to do, and I motivated people to get activated and to get involved.
That is amazing. I'm not surprised, because after listening to you last Thursday, I was just, wow. Wow. There's a lot of power there. You know, I just blown away. And, you know, I have a feeling that whatever you set your mind to and whatever you decide to speak out against or speak for is going to be very impactful. And I had to have you on, you know, I You weren't awake. And you had to be on. There's so many stories within your life that I think other people can relate to. Stay-at-home mom, juggling life, small children. Oh my goodness, that's not easy. That's hard. Making sure everything in your house is running and up and smooth, and you're also in an area without support. And look at you, you accomplished this. It was no small task. And I'm very, very proud of you. I think that is inspirational. And there's somebody that will listen to this podcast that resonates with. And they'll think, if she can do it, I can too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what do you suggest to those of us that are unhappy with the state of affairs in our country? What do you suggest people do?
Well, first and foremost, I would say, I live in the county. I live just outside of the city limits. So I started with getting involved in going to our commissioners' court meetings. Our commissioners, our county is divided into four precincts. So we have four commissioners, and there's a county judge that presides over the court. And it's not court like, like a criminal case court or like a traffic court, right? It's just they're holding court to discuss whatever's on their agenda. And there's the county judge that presides over the meeting. So there's a total of 5 votes on whatever they're voting on the agenda. And, that's where county property tax rates are set, whether they're raised or lowered. That's who the sheriff goes to ask for permission for extra spending. It's who approves budgets that are submitted to them. And, in February was the first time I went and spoke in front of a court. Now, mind you, I had just the film that I did, let's just say that, let's put it out there real quick. The film that I did was Non-Compliant by Chris Ann Hall. You can find it. You can watch it free from your laptop or phone or comfort of your own couch at noncompliantmovie.com. She is a speaker who I saw speak back at the end of January. And I had the pleasure and the honor of organizing the homeschool day for her to come and speak to our local co-ops and students and homeschoolers here in our area. So I just finished that, and I got a message asking and speak at the special commissioner's court the next day regarding the county usage of using taxpayer funds to administer and vaccines this COVID-19 vaccine, and our area being the central vaccine hub for our county. And, I am very pro-science. I am very anti-corrupt science. And so I am also not for the use of taxpayer funds. This is not the role of government. And so I did. I went and I spoke, and that was the first time that I had really spoken ever in front of elected officials, and I was so grateful that I had what I was saying written out there in front of me. And it was so invigorating to go up there and address them and know that I could, and I couldn't get in trouble for it. And that really is what kind of sparked me into this grassroots movement of liberty and understanding our city has a city charter. Every city has a city charter, and I didn't know that. Counties have county charters. A charter is basically just like a mini constitution for your city or for your county, for your area, and learning about the role of different types of the government locally and fully understanding why local government is more impactful and more important than federal government. And, you know, if you try to reach the president, do you think you're going to reach him?
No.
I'm
not sure anybody can.
If you try to call your state representative that's over, that's in Washington, D.C., or maybe your state senator, are you going to get a direct line to them and be able to talk to them?
Absolutely not.
Probably not.
Yeah,
you'll get an aide. Yeah. You'll get some staffer. Even if you're calling to say you want to voice your support or opposition to something that they're about to vote on or that they're arguing, you know, you can only hope that your voice is being accurately recorded. If you try to reach your governor and you're calling down there, you know, here in Texas, you're calling to Austin and you're trying to reach your governor, do you think you're going to reach him?
Absolutely not.
No. Even your own representative in your state capital or your senator for your area in the state capital, you might be able to maybe get a meeting in if you have an office locally, but even then it's going to be a little bit difficult. But if you need to talk to your city council, you have a much higher chance of getting through and talking to your city council. You have a higher chance of being able to talk to your county commissioner. You have a higher chance of being able to talk to your county sheriff. And what people need to understand is that your county sheriff holds the highest position in your county. Your county sheriff can look at the FDA and say, you're not coming into my county to enforce whatever laws you think you have against raw milk. You step foot in my county, you're going to come and pick up your deputies from the county jail because I'm arresting them for trespassing. Your county sheriff has the authority to say, those anti-gun laws that you are passing up in Washington, we're not enforcing those here. And if you send your ATF agents to enforce them here in my county, you can come pick up your agents from the county jail because I'll be arresting them. Your sheriff has that much authority in your county. It is an elected law enforcement position. And so, you know, getting involved locally and being a thorn in your county commissioner's side and being a thorn in your city council side and even going and meeting with the sheriff and vocalizing your support, hey, if you were to do X, Y, Z, if you were to refuse to comply, I will support you. And you know what? Here's a list of 500 people that I know that will support you, that have pledged to support you if you refuse to comply. Do you think that's going to be impactful on your county sheriff?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It absolutely. You have more chance of being influential on your local government because your local government can tell your state capitol, I'm not complying with that. Your local sheriff can look to Washington and say, I'm not complying with that. Just like here, here in my county, we have an awesome, awesome county attorney who last year during the lockdown, who flat out told our county commissioners, you can pass whatever resolution you want, but I'm not going to prosecute anyone for not complying with the mask mandate. It's unconstitutional. It's an overstep of our governor's role and authority. He's bypassing the legislative process and therefore violating separation of powers, so I'm not prosecuting. And it was a really big stink here. And, you know, there were people that were really going after our county attorney trying to find ways to get him in trouble for it, but the people supported him. The people vocalized, I support you. And that encouraged him, I think, to continue moving forward and standing on the path for liberty.
Wow. Wow. That's really,
it gives you hope.
Impactful, yeah. Oh gosh, I'm in Dallas County, and it is a lot of masking. A lot of people love their masks. A lot of people love their injections. You know, I live on a street where I think I'm surrounded by injected people, which makes me sad. In Dallas, yeah. Texas. So, you know, it's Dallas. It's home. I love it. And I love the people here with all of my heart. But, oh, my gosh, it is. It's got its challenges. There's a lot of people here love their masks. There's services here that have refused service to people because they won't wear one. And I had the opportunity to speak to a CEO of a company that was promoting such policies and heard about how horribly they did during the shutdown. And I thought, you know, wow. Of all the people that could have taken advantage of people being shut in, a company that makes gluten-free and keto-friendly, if I said that right, keto-friendly meals.
Yeah, keto.
Yeah, if you know, that could have been a success story for them. Could have been an amazing success story for them. No, it was not. So, as I watch their independent stores and independent reach shut down, I think, well, that's just bad management. I, of course, was discriminated against because I wouldn't wear my mask in. I've already had the virus, and I'm healthy, with the exception of the nonstop the infections I was getting in my parotid gland from wearing a mask, to the point where the ER doctor told me, no more, you know, just no more. Don't wear these. It's not turning out well for you. They didn't care. Did not care. So I don't go there anymore. And anyway, our judge, I tried to reach our judge, and he did nothing. So, you know, I have to, hopefully he gets voted out. And, I don't even know our county sheriff here in Dallas County anymore.
Is that the same sheriff that arrested Shelley Luther when she refused to close her salon?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Okay. So, wow. Yeah, it sure is. You know, she had bills to pay. You know who didn't care? If she had a stay-at-home orders, you know who didn't care? The electric company. You know who else didn't care? Her mortgage company.
Yeah.
And she needed to make money. And there were enough people that, you know, we are all adults here. We can make decisions for ourselves. Is it more dangerous to sit inside my house in a mask by myself than it is to go out in the sunshine and get my hair done? And while I understand getting your hair done isn't like, you know, isn't one of the list of the most essential things. You know, you can get tired of brushing out tangles. You can get tired of it. And it just, it's good for your self-esteem. It's good for your self-worth. Sometimes it's just that human contact that people being shut into their homes craved so bad. It broke a lot of people. They killed themselves because they were so lonely. The yeah. number of suicides and, you know, the secondary suicides, the ones that died of drug overdose or alcohol abuse, those were through the roof. You know, going to get your hair done can be therapeutic, can have somebody to talk to, another human in person. That can mean everything when you've been isolated and shut in for a week or two or 5 weeks. You know, when your only friend is Joe Exotic and the rest of his crew when the country went through the, you know, all went through the yes. Tiger King phase during the very initial 2 weeks to flatten the curve, which curve is not flat. Curve keeps going. The curve keeps changing. The goalpost keeps changing and changing and changing. At first it was Operation Warp Speed. And then it, you know, it was 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Okay, then Operation Warp Speed. Once everybody gets their shots, we're going to be able to reopen. Well, you know, 50% of the country's had it. And yet they're still getting sick. They're saying that they will deny hospital beds to those that have chosen not to get the shots. And then that makes me think, why are those that get the shots in such serious need of the hospital beds? I mean, you know, there's a shortage because they keep letting doctors and nurses go. You know, that makes no sense. If we're really in a serious pandemic, shouldn't they be the ones to stay? There are small hospitals. Have you heard about this? The smaller hospitals are now advertising that they are not doing mandatory shots in order to work there. And that has been a recruitment opportunity to get more nurses and more doctors on their staff. Because, you know, these larger hospitals, they can hire the out-of-town traveling nurses. You know, but smaller hospitals don't have that kind of budget. And if they're short-staffed and they're not making enough money, they shut down. So, you know, here they are. They're using that as an advertising tool, which is honestly, that's brilliant. So, you know, if I were going to go to a hospital, number one, I wouldn't want to go. I would find an independently owned emergency room if I had to go. But, you know, if it's a non-emergency issue like ear infection or whatever, you know, I'd visit a teledoctor or something. Hospital-worthy stuff. That's scary, like the people with the heart attacks or, I don't know, those gunshot victims that had to stand outside of an Oklahoma hospital because the hospital was so full of ivermectin people. That just, oh, man. That's the funniest thing. Did you read that Rolling Stone article that had a photo? Like full winter gear. Oh, funny stuff.
And then they had to walk their claims back, didn't they? Whenever they were trying to say that they were just so full from people being ill and, you know, whatnot, but like they had to walk their claims back.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's Nebraska. Nebraska is recruiting the unvaccinated nurses. There are New York hospitals that won't deliver babies. They can't because the maternity staffers have left. And wow. You know, okay, so here we are. This is Missouri. You know, Colorado. You know, the nurses and the doctors that actually did take the experiment, that were part of the experiment, they're facing burnout, and you know they're gonna leave sooner or later because you can only take burnout for so long. So,
yeah.
You know, it's we're really looking at some really interesting things. Caregivers in Austin, Texas, non-vaccinated caregivers. I mean, it looks like there are jobs that are looking to hire people that are not vaccinated. And it's born out of necessity, out of staffing issues. And I'm just going to throw this out there. But maybe the ones with the shots, maybe they get sick. Maybe they're a little sicker. Because from the studies we've seen, it knocks out their natural antibody response to COVID infections. Like regular flu and virus cold infections, those antibodies we spend a lifetime building up. It's like, poof, just gone. So I'm just going to venture out to say that perhaps those that do not seek health in a needle, perhaps they're taking better care of themselves. Just throwing that out there. I mean, everybody wants
to. Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, anyone can sit on their couch and eat Twinkies and drink diet soda. And say, oh, you know what, I'm fine. You know, this shot's going to protect me. No. Oh, my gosh, you have bigger issues than COVID. Oh, goodness. You have some bigger issues going on. So,
right.
So in watching this movie, by the way, is there a chance that you can have another showing?
I can organize another showing. What was that last part you said? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, or would you consider it? You know, because I think this is something that would be. I think it could be promoted. I absolutely would be happy to do a plug for it on the show.
I possibly could. We're just finishing up. We're actually right in the middle of this house buying process. We are buying the house that we're renting right now, which is super awesome. And so we're coming, and I've also got us. We're going to start school. We homeschool, so we're going to start school next week. But you know, anybody can watch it from home, from their phone, from their laptops, and at that noncompliantmovie.com. You know, it's very well done. This isn't some B-rated documentary with camera. This is, I'm talking like professional and Hollywood quality of a documentary that's just, you know, I watch it and every time when it gets to the end, I tear up. And I've probably seen, I think this was like the fifth time that I watched the film, because we have been taught so wrong what government is. We've been taught so wrong the proper flow of government that we've been taught, and this is, you know, over time, right? You put a frog in cold water and slowly turn up the heat, the frog sits there and boils to death, right? So it's not like this happens out of nowhere all at once, but we've been taught that we are low on the totem pole, that we are these lowlings that are ruled over and dictated over and legislated to death, that we have not properly been taught that, no, we are actually the ones in charge. We, the people, right? Because the people created the states and the state government, and the state created, got together and created a compact, the Constitution, which the product was the federal government. And, you know, the creation cannot be greater than the creator. That's just not the natural flow of things. The creation cannot have authority over the creator. That's not the proper flow. And so when you're reading in the Constitution that these defined powers and authority have been delegated to the federal government, a delegation is a temporary transfer, a temporary authorization of powers or authority from a higher power to a lower power. Did your mind just explode? Because mine explodes every time I hear that. A temporary transfer of powers from a higher authority to a lower authority. So the state's delegated, defined, and finite powers to the federal government. What does that tell you?
Wow.
That tells you the states have the higher authority because they have temporarily transferred. And we see that we have the power to reserve that power back. We have the authority to reserve that power back. And so, and then we've also been told, you know, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, in the topic of nullification, we're told that this, we the people and the states have the power to nullify laws that Congress passes. We have the power to nullify things that the executive branch does when they are not pursuant to the Constitution. So when they are doing things that are in violation of the Constitution, because all of their powers are very clearly laid out in what they're allowed to do. So when they violate those things, we the people and we the states have the authority to say, so just kidding, we're going to go ahead and take those powers back. If you, let's look at it this way. Let's say you have a fast food business, and this is your business. It's not even a franchise. This is your business, and you hire a person, the fries and the fry machines, but they keep trying to go over and cook the burgers while they're doing the fries, and you keep telling them, this isn't what you were hired for. You're hired to do the fries. Do you just walk out of your business and hand over your business to the fry cook? Or do you say, no, you're fired. I will be taking over this job until we get somebody, I can get someone in this position who will act under my authority, under my delegated powers that I've given, I'm delegating to them for them to do the job I'm hiring them to do. That's what we're missing. See, the states keep trying to say, okay, we'll take the business. I mean, federal government, you're doing things you're not supposed to be doing. You're violating the Constitution. Just go ahead and take over the business. I give up. And they're rolling over with their bellies showing, saying, I give up. States should be doing is saying, that is not in your list of delegated powers, regardless of what SCOTUS says, because you can't appeal to the federal government to limit the federal government, right? That's not what they were there for.
Right,
so regardless
right.
of what SCOTUS says, what you're doing is wrong. It's you're violating the Constitution. So we're taking our authority back until we get somebody in that position to properly represent us and to properly represent the Constitution. Because the federal government is only supposed to be, the president is only supposed to be the face on international relations. That is what they were hired to do. And when you understand the history of the Constitution, then you understand that that is all that they were hired to do. That's all that they were created to do. When you understand that the senators that are sent to Washington, D.C., senators are not there to represent your and my interests. That's why we have the House of Representatives. The senators are there on behalf of the state. We have two senators for each state, and they are there to represent the state. We have two senators for the state of Texas. They are there to represent the state of Texas. Ted Cruz is not there to represent me. John Cornyn is not there to represent you. They're there to represent Texas. We have representatives to represent us. And there's going to be times where what is in our best interest as the people may not be what's in the best interest of the state and vice versa. But see, we've got this so ingrained in our head that we're a democracy that we vote for the president.
No,
people are actually
no, we don't.
Thinking that the senators, people are actually there thinking that the senators represent us. You know, back when I call it Snowmageddon or Snowvid, whenever everything froze, right? And people
right.
lost power all across the state of Texas. We had crazy low temperatures that hadn't been seen in that low in decades. People are going crazy because Ted Cruz is taking his family to Cancun. Well, why are they going crazy? He's not our representative. He's a representative of the state. There's nothing he can do about what's going on. Now,
you're right.
If you want to get upset, if your representative took off to Cancun and you wanted to get upset about it, you could, but it's still a state issue. This should be taken up at Austin, not Washington. Isn't that crazy that the people of Texas looked to Washington, looked to Biden for answers? Biden's not our governor. Abbott's the one that we should be going to. We should be looking to Austin. What are you guys doing about this? Because this is a state issue. We have our own power grid, for the love of God and country. We've got our own power grid here. What's Washington going to do? That's not their role. That's not their responsibility. That is a state of Texas. But we're so ingrained that we're a democracy. It's like people look at the state the way that they look at counties or cities. Like we're just all these different little areas, but we're all governed and ruled by the president. But that's not true.
You're absolutely right. You know, the power grid failure. There were people, they were promised, we're going to do some rolling blackouts. You're going to lose power for a few hours. It'll come back on. You'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that didn't happen. People were without power for days. Whoever designed the homes in Texas to have the hot water heater in the attic.
Yeah.
I'm not one for physical violence, but you know, if they're thinking that, like, oh, yeah, let's put the hot water heater up in the attic. Well, hey, yeah, Texas is crazy hot in the winter. Yes, that hot water heater can add some heat to the house, but you know what it can do? if it freezes, if we have unnaturally low temperatures and it freezes and it bursts, people, I was going through my feed and it was just photo after photo after photo of icicles hanging from the ceiling. And it's somebody with Lyme and has suffered from mold-related issues. That just looked like a whole future mold damage homes. And the problem with getting illness from mold exposure is it's slow. You know, you don't notice it. You start getting a little sicker, And it kind of comes on gradually before you're really weak and you're dealing with it. And it can kill people. So there's going to be untold amount of people that are dying from mold exposure or from the mental problems that the mold exposure can cause or the respiratory problems. Add into respiratory problems from the mold exposure to a respiratory illness. It's not a disease, people. It is an illness. A disease is something that, like celiac or diabetes, cancer, you know. And actually, I believe mold can contribute to cancer. So we have these, burst water heaters and the snow you couldn't make snowballs with. And, I grew up on the Red River, and, it would snow, I would say, every other year. We'd miss school for a couple of days. And, wow, you could really pack a mean snowball. Oh, my gosh. And you could pack a mean snowman. This snow did not pack. So, I think that's extremely strange, considering that we had power grid issues, and it seemed a little too intentional. Without saying it, the snow wouldn't pack, the snow didn't act like snow. There were people that had chemical burns on their body after being in the snow. When that happens, something's not right. Weather modification technology has been around for at least 50 years. So, if they want to attack an area, it can happen in a freak snowstorm in one of the most unpredictable states in the union. I mean, it could be written off as, well, it's Texas, Really, really don't believe that at a time when our power grid failed like it did. A lot of variables with that. So have you taken any steps to prepare yourself this winter just in case we have another snowmageddon?
Well, now that we know that we're buying this house, we still have wood from last year, but we just have to be careful when burning wood. Our youngest has been diagnosed with, she has been diagnosed with an allergy-induced asthma, and we had her blood tested for allergies, and her major allergies that returned back were mainly food allergies and a very, 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 very severe dog allergy. Her physician's assistant said that it was like off the charts in reaction to the dog, which kind of stunk because we have one dog now, but we had multiple dogs. The other two just got too old, and we had to put them down each at different times. So, our dog can't come inside the house, but we are working on very slowly acclimating her and exposure therapy to the dog. And so when we've tried to have a fire inside, it generally, it usually ends with her in an asthma attack. So I'm not quite sure how to get around that. It is. So we're going to be looking into probably getting a generator or two. And we always have water on hand. I buy reverse osmosis water from we have a local water mom and pop shop water place that they have this massive reverse osmosis machine. And so we get reverse osmosis water for them for drinking anyway, because we're on a co-op water, but it just always smells and tastes weird. And so I'm kind of a water snob, and I kind of always have been, and don't like the taste of most water. So, you know, we're definitely, you know, we've evaluated our food storage and our water storage. And so next is just getting a generator so that we could at least at the bare minimum run our freezer and our fridge and our heater. There's not much more that we really need to run other than those things. So
that's wonderful. You know, have you taken to getting a wood burning stove? Because while they use wood, you know, your exposure to the smoke that you would have in a regular fireplace is limited. You know, my parents, you know, growing up in the country, if you lost power, you lost it for days, you know, and I can remember, you know, 3 or 4 days without power. But because my dad had put a wood-burning stove in place of the fireplace, and there are two wood-burning stoves in that house. Because he had done that, you know, it kept the living room warm. You know, it kept the open areas of the house warm. We would hang blankets over the doors, and it would help that room stay insulated. So we just kind of chilled, hung out. You know, that's all we did, really, just hang, chill out, read books, you know, for days. If we were lucky, we didn't have a stomach virus, which I don't know how, but that managed to be around the same time. Like, really, some rough conditions, you know. And, you know, we had well water, and that was it. And, you know, you're right, that co-op water or even well water, whoa, it can have some strange smells. The sulfur smells horrible.
Yeah.
You know, too much iron content is going to turn everything red. I was a redhead for a good amount of my childhood. Yeah, you know, because of the iron content in the water. So, yeah. It's something.
Well, you know, I had an idea this last time, because we were really lucky that we lost power only for a few minutes every few hours over one night, and that was it. And it was like the very last night before the weather started to warm up again. And we only lost water because we have, for our area, we have these really two or three really large water tanks for the neighborhood, and the whole neighborhood was able to survive off of those water tanks for almost a whole week. And so we only lost water for like 12 hours because we were running on these water tanks. And while we were on those water tanks, our water company was fixing the wells that had frozen. So that worked out really well. But, you know, what I thought of whenever, you know, because we were being cautious, we weren't running, you know, our dishwasher is actually like a low water usage, that when we did run out of water, I would heat up the water on the stove while we had the electricity, you know, and fill up the sink and have the one side for washing and the next side filled up for rinsing, and then we would hand dry. But my thought was that I think that for, you know, just to be prepared, I bought extra 5-gallon buckets so that whenever, if this were to happen again, when we drain the water from the sink, the water could go into the 5-gallon buckets, and that water could be used for flushing toilets, so that we weren't using potable water for flushing toilets.
Right.
Kind of creating this gray water type system so that, you know, we can get multiple uses out of the water, you know, from, you know, most important down to least important. So that way, if somebody took a sink in the bathroom, then we don't have to sit and deal with the sink in the bathroom. We can go ahead and flush that down as quickly as possible.
I think that's a really great idea. You know, I never could understand why I wasn't always quick to drain bathwater. I'm thinking, why is this so hardwired into me? Well, you know what? You grow up in the country, you never know. You know, there could be a windstorm and you're done, you know, or you could have well problems and you're done. And I'm thinking, aha. So, you know, every bath you take in the winter, let that chill, because that may be your toilet water for the next, you know, for the next few days. You know, when we were having the rolling blackouts, I definitely took a very hot bath. I have Raynaud's and like my feet turn purple and they get very cold. So very hot bath. And, you know, put my copper socks on afterwards. And, you know, the bathtub stayed full. And, you know, you could, because if you really need to use that, there you go. I mean, that's water you can ration out to, you know, you add a little soap with that. That's your beginning water to wash your hands. You can rinse cleaner water. But, you know, if it's just water that you've taken a bath in and used, you know, a little bit of bath soap or whatever, that's fine. You can use that with soap to wash your hands, and then you use clean water to rinse it off. You know, there's a million ways to do it, but you know that bath water can make a difference. So, you know, I think just growing up in the country. You know, well, we are at the end of hour two. I'm going to need to run a few commercials, and then when we come back, I'm very thankful you'll be with us. So we'll have roughly an hour left. So please enjoy the commercial supporting our fellow podcasters here on the Freedomizer radio station, and we'll be back.
Why is the world in the state that it is in? Do you need certainty about things in your life? Your health, your love, your marriage, maybe your diet or politics. Join us here at 5:30 Mountain Time on FreedomizerRadio.com as we give you all the answers, and we will expound upon subjects that we know everything about, and you will learn how to laugh, love, and live.
What is wrong with you? Have you been reading Hallmark cards or hanging around at Bed Bath & Beyond?
What? It's an ad, okay? Ads don't have to be truthful, all right?
Why do you think you have all the answers?
Well, I don't, okay? I just say that I do. That way people think that you're smarter than you really are.
And that's going to make people want to listen to you more? What if they find out you're a dum-dum?
You're a dodo.
No.
Join us here Monday evenings at 5:30 Mountain Standard Time as we search for answers together on Mental Acumen Radio with Donald and Christy Rose on FreedomizerRadio.com.
You hurt my feelings, dumb dumb.
Join me, Dahl Arntzen, your host, Fridays, the Alaskan Patriot Network. I will bring you conservative views and news, both at home here in Alaska and around the world. So be sure to tune in Fridays, 2 to 5 p.m. Alaska Daylight Time, the Alaskan Patriot Network.
Tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne Show, Sunday night, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. I promote liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, against government overreach, against tyranny, and against the globalist agenda to undermine our precious American sovereignty. Discussions are unscripted and free-flowing, so sometimes the conversations wander off into unpredictable directions. Please check out the Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne page on Facebook, and as always, like and follow it. Thank you, and again, I hope you'll join me Sunday evenings, 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, for the Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne Show, part of the Freedomizer Radio community.
And we are back. We are back into hour three with the amazing guest, the amazing J.C. Lopez, who is speaking about local government, the winter, and you know what you can do to work within the local government to help create change for where you live, to create a standard for where you live, one to your liking. If you know your county is not liberty minded enough, things you can do. To people you can speak to, what you can do as a citizen to ensure that you are protected with liberty. And, you know, while we're on this topic, on the topic of liberty, after we discovered the atrocities of the Nazi experiment, World War II, the Nuremberg Code was written. And it was written because when it became knowledge of all the human experiments taken on those that were sent off to these camps, this was drafted so that it could not happen again. As I look over all 10 articles of the Nuremberg Code, I see 10 articles of the Nuremberg Code that are being, they're being violated. The first part is the voluntary consent of the human subject is absolutely essential. Is it voluntary if you are told that if you don't do it, you have to, you're going to be fired? The experiment should be such as to yield fruitful results for the good of society. Okay, well, if people are dying, is that fruitful? The experiment should be so designed and based on the results of animal experimentation and a knowledge of the natural history of the disease. Well, animal history, the history of animal experimentation, ferret study, people, that's where we're at. The experiment should be so conducted as to avoid all unnecessary physical and mental suffering and injury. So we have people that are suffering. They're paralyzed. Paralyzed, death, heart attack, stroke, dementia, myocarditis in our youth, which, you know, it's not just saying, oh, hey, you're under 30, so I'm going to, you know, the shot, it's not a smart shot. It doesn't just say, hey, you know what, you're under 30, so I'm going to go attack your heart. But, hey, you know what, you, over 30, not going to cause myocarditis within you. It's causing heart issues. You know, I keep reading over this, and I'm thinking, none of this is right. The people that have been tricked into getting this, or the people that have gone into this, did not do so with full knowledge. If they would know the long-term effects, because there are no long-term effects. Ferrets were killed because it was unethical to allow them to continue to live. Here we are. So I'm asking you, is there anything we can do at a local level? Because the articles of the Nuremberg Code are being violated. What can we do? It seems as though the people that are making the directives, it seems as though those that are making the orders, it seems as though every government official that's mandating it, every company that is mandating it as terms of employee, it seems like they should get prosecuted, but yet still making their billions of dollars or millions of dollars. They don't care about each individual employee. Each individual employee is replaceable because they're just an employee. They're just like cattle, like sheep. They can be replaced. You can't replace who you are in this world. Everybody here has a purpose and a meaning, and I can't think of anybody on this world whose purpose and meaning is to come here and become a medical experiment. So, with that said, do you have any direction? And this isn't.
Yeah, that's a really.
This isn't sorry.
It's okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, this isn't a question that I'd asked you before, so I kind of hit you out from left field with this.
No, but it's a really good question, and it's a question that we have to ask ourselves. And really, to get to the root of that question, we've got to first revisit this notion that federal government is a big bad, you know, wolf, right? Well, which it is, but it's not the end all be all. It's not the ultimate authority, you know. So we've got to look at really how do they, which we don't know any of these rules yet because OSHA has not drafted them, which, you know, that just means we're getting into that unelected fourth branch of government, right? The administration,
right.
The non-government organizations. OSHA is a non-government. Yes, they're not government, but they're these little organizations created within government against the Constitution. But we've got to look to see, like, we have this idea that federal government is so big, they're just going to infiltrate all of our cities like these armies of ants crawling around and devouring our businesses if we don't comply. We've got to remember and we've got to understand that any enforcement of federal regulations is done at the local level. I would venture to say almost all enforcement is done at the local level. There are not enough employees in OSHA for them to go to every single business even once in our entire lifetime. According to OSHA themselves, they would require 150 years to send their employees into each and every business to visit just one time. So that means that there's got to be some partnership for enforcement. And unfortunately, our states and counties have entered into these partnerships with non-government organizations. Girl, why do you think the federal government has worked so hard to militarize our sheriff's department? They give this military grade equipment to our police departments and our sheriff's departments because those become almost like bribes. Look at these things we can give you. Now we need you to work with us because the federal government knows they can't enforce any of this on their own. And so if we, as our counties, as our states, would just stand up and say, we will not comply with those mandates. Good luck with that in the state of Texas. Unenforceable. We've seen it happen with cannabis, how states one by one have stood up and said that we are not going to comply with these federal regulations on cannabis, that we are going to regulate and legislate this and legalize this here in our state. And when more and more states stood up, it's impossible for the federal government to go into each and every state and to regulate the federal regulations, to enforce the federal regulations. Same thing we saw with immigrants in sanctuary cities. There's not enough federal enforcement to go in and enforce immigration laws. That's why these sanctuary cities were so effective. That's why non-compliance with cannabis federal laws was so effective. That eventually the federal government has essentially said, it's still illegal on a federal level, but just like keep it within your state. Don't ship it across state lines. That's essentially what they've said because they can't enforce this on a federal level. So if we were just to stand up and say we will not comply with these OSHA mandates or regulations, we will not enforce these OSHA mandates and regulations, the federal government would have no choice but to concede that they can't do this, that they won't be able to do it. It may still be a regulation that's on the books, but it'll be unenforceable. So we have to reach out to our representatives in our state capitals. We've got to reach out to our senators in our state capitals. We've got to reach out to our governors and just encourage them to exercise their 10th Amendment right to nullification. The states have the right to nullify unconstitutional laws, orders, or mandates because mandates are not laws. These are things that have completely bypassed Congress, this directive at President Biden's request to OSHA to say, I want you to make these regulations. They're not laws. They're just requests. I mean, OSHA is probably going to comply, and they're probably going to try to figure out how to do it. But it's the state's right to say, we will not comply. It is a 10th Amendment that says, the power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Vaccine mandates in any way, shape, or form is not part of the powers delegated to the federal government. And so any regulation that they try to enforce is unconstitutional. So the states have every right to say, we will not comply. The states have every right to tell the federal government, in fact, I don't want OSHA in my state. OSHA is not part of those delegated powers, the temporary transfer from a higher authority to a lower authority. Could you imagine if the janitor at Apple went up to the CEO and said, I'm going to take over the design of your phones, and I'm going to be the one to do the design of your phones now. CEO of Apple would look at the janitor and be like, Who are you?
Who are you?
The states have given up that authority to say, who are you? And we need to remind our governors that they have that 10th Amendment power of nullification. And truly, I mean, we can even look at the 9th Amendment. The 9th Amendment says the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people, meaning all the rights not listed in the Constitution belong to the people, not the government. See, the Constitution did two things. It not only defined what the federal government could do and say you can only do this, but it also says, but everything else not listed is reserved to the people and the states. So we've got very clear instructions on what the federal government is allowed to do, and then it says whatever's not listed right here in these sections and subsections, those are all reserved to the people and to the states. And so we've got to remind people the 9th and 10th Amendment are very much still valid. And the federal government's not going to like it, because the federal government will never like it when they've taken liberties. They don't want to give them back. They don't want to give up power. But we have to remind them. Because you know what? It's not just our liberty. These are our children's liberties. These are our grandchildren's liberties. Mercy Otis Woman, Mercy Otis Woman is often called one of the founding mothers of our country. Her brother, James Otis Jr., is the one who, he was a lawyer for the crown, and he refused to prosecute, I'm totally drawing a blank right now, but anyway, she was his brother, and she said, we must stand against tyranny today, or our children will bow tomorrow. One of the things I've heard from friends, from people who I know, who are very pro-Second Amendment, they like collecting firearms, they like shooting firearms, they like the mechanisms of how firearms work, and enjoy learning how they work, and which part does what, and, you know, how can we make this better? How can we make this more reliable? One of the things I hear them so frustrated about the generations before us who allowed the federal government to come in and take these little pieces of an amendment right by legislating it, by regulating it, by saying what we can or cannot do. One of their biggest frustrations was, where were our parents and grandparents when they were doing this?
Right.
Didn't they know what the Second Amendment was for? Didn't they know this was a protection of us, for us, to fight against a tyrannical government to keep the playing field level? Didn't they know what this was for and how important this was to our liberties? And they're passionate about it, and they are frustrated. Where were our parents and grandparents? I do not want my children saying that about me.
Absolutely.
I want my children, and I want your children. I want my neighbor's children. I want their grandchildren to know that there were people who were willing to stand up and fight against tyranny and to protect and reserve, to secure their liberties, because we get so caught up in this word rights. What do rights mean? What does freedom mean? We use the word freedom over and over and over again, but there's so much that is forgotten, and the word is liberty, because we all have the freedom to do what we want. We have the freedom. I have the freedom to go out and crash my car into a telephone pole right now. I could just get in my car and just punch it and book it down the road as fast as I can make it and run to that telephone pole. But my liberty is the combination, the mixture of freedom and morality. It is not moral for me to go do that, and so that is what restricts me from doing that. My liberty is a huge responsibility to me, and so is my children's liberties, so is your liberty. It is a huge responsibility because it's protecting not just freedom, but morality. You can have freedom without morality, but you cannot have liberty without that morality. And it is so, so vital to each and every one of us, to our own bodily autonomy.
Absolutely.
To fight, you know, and protect.
You know, when we were in the lockdowns, the right to peaceful assembly was suspended. And if they could take that right as easily as they did, that means that they can take it away forever. So the right for peaceful assembly, you know, I know after George Floyd was killed, you know, there were protests, and the protests were mainly peaceful. Somewhere at the end, these people just popped out of nowhere. And, you know, there were a lot of reports of bricks being left in very conspicuous places along the route. And, you know, I mean, it made it look bad. But there were a lot of peaceful protests. But, you know, we saw this all over the world. You know, even in our own country, when people were protesting at the very beginning of the lockdown, which coincidentally, there was like a ridiculous amount of 5G towers that just kind of appeared out of nowhere at that time. You know, that was suspended. You couldn't leave the house. You couldn't protest. You couldn't gather together and protest. You know, people weren't doing it. They were thinking, okay, well, just 2 weeks, you know, because that just 2 weeks placated a lot of people. Okay, you know what, it's just 2 weeks. We'll get by. It'll be okay. 2 weeks. Here we are. You know, we are so far into this. We are, what, 18 months in? Going on 19 months in, this two-week thing, there's been, you know, they've tried to enact the you know, they said we didn't have to wear the mask because so many people are vaccinated. Well, you know, vaccinated can transmit, and they can also, you know, they can be infected. They can die from this. From C-19. So the masks, you know, they were saying that those that didn't have the shots could go without the mask. And, you know, I'm over here. I've already had it. I'm thinking, that's been any vaccination because I know that mine will last, my immunity. But, you know, they're trying to do the mask thing again. I think Dallas County tried to do the mask thing briefly, and it got shut down by the governor. It's frustrating. You know, I think people are hopefully not so quick to give up their rights this time around. I hope they are seeing it for what it is. It's just a fear campaign, a weaponized cold virus. Now, if you're following the gain of function research and, you know, what Rand Paul is doing when he questions Tony Fauci, I mean, it's very serious. I mean, we've got a lot of issues at play here. And, you know, I would like to hope the American people are not so quick to give up their freedoms like they did before, because it – you know, as we know, after 9/11, I mean, that just, there were a lot of freedoms lost. And it was in the name of safety. But, you know, we didn't get those back. You're still taking your shoes off when you board the plane. You're still, there's so many things you do now. And, you know, I just flew not so long ago. And my flight was actually pretty awesome. And I enjoyed it. There wasn't anybody in the row with me. You know, it's okay. You know, I mean, it was fine. But the way back, wow, there was a flight attendant that was very serious about everybody wearing their masks correctly. And I heard her get on to the one woman and say, this is the fourth time I've told you. You say it again, you're good. If I have to say it again, you're going to lose your flight privileges. Like, whoa, hold on here, lady.
Yeah.
That's a lot of power to give somebody. You don't know what that somebody is going through at home. They may be going through power struggles with their spouse or, you know, with their job or what. She may be taking it out on somebody because she was a little too militant. I mean, you know, it's recirculated air. On the outside of the box of the masks, this is not intended to prevent the transmission or infection of any disease. So actually, I think that's absolute pseudoscience to look at the box that tells you, hey, this is not guaranteed to do anything. And yet somehow, when you get on an airplane, hey, it's got magical powers. That's pseudoscience right there. That's just like saying a magic vial of dust and blacked out ingredients is going to keep you healthy. That's not how it works. So, you know, don't get your rights back. And if we're not careful, we'll be wearing masks. You know, you really don't have to search hard into MK Ultra, which is absolutely admitted by the United States government. You don't have to search hard to learn about the MK Ultra use of masks for submission. It was used for slaves to make them submit. It has been used in cultures for submission. It is a sign of submission. So conditioning our children to think that they're going to die without the mask is child abuse. It's absolute child abuse. It's state-sanctioned child abuse. With MK Ultra, it starts it, and you know, with the cults that employ the use of masks for submission and control, they started at age 2. So, look at our government guidelines. You know, of course, they learned in MK Ultra that the use of fear is amazing at keeping our country in our is useful in keeping people in compliance. So you take away their rights little by little. You know, they're wearing a mask, they lose their sense of self, they're fearful, they're glued to the TV, they're not leaving the home. Absolutely. They are 100% preconditioned to roll up their sleeve for anything. And I feel like we're watching one of the largest voluntary culling of the herds.
This is just a dumbing down of America, right? So this is just the long-term, consistent dumbing down of America. This is what happens when we don't teach the Constitution. This is what happens when we don't teach the Nuremberg Code and the true importance just of bodily autonomy, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, the Tuskegee experiment was disguised under the guise of free healthcare. So every time somebody goes to get a vial of trust the government, of just trust us, you know, we've been sued and we owe billions of dollars in lawsuits, but you know what? This one, hey, we're good. You know, we're good. We're not disclosing ingredients because we don't want to explain the source for these magical fairy powers. It's insane. It's insane how quickly people are willing to give up their right to their self. They don't even realize that this is still emergency use only. Even just the number of health professionals, and I use that term loosely, but just the number of health professionals that that are having problems understanding this is emergency use authorization, it just boggles my mind. It's as if the words safe and effective have been drilled into their head for so long that they do not understand that it can be anything else. Oh, yeah, it's safe and effective. Really? It's effective, all right. But perhaps not in what we're being told. Safe? People are dropping like flies. They're having life-altering reactions. 1 in 9 children that gets these shots, and for the life of me, I don't understand the level of... Actually, I do, because before I had my own bad reaction, I probably, if this would have been me before that reaction, I'll never say that I regret getting that shot, because it definitely opened my eyes. But I know I would have been in line. My kids would have been in line. We would have volunteered. We would have, oh, yeah, this is for some grand reason. This is helpful. Not, hey, this is a free lab rat, you know. They're not paying anybody, so just because it's free doesn't mean it's free. Our grandchildren will be paying for it. So
yeah, we're selling our children and our grandchildren into slavery.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, they're a genetic sequence cannot be. Cannot be patented, but modified genetic sequences sure can be. And, of course, there's a lot of talk about, oh, no, that's not why we're doing this. That's not why we're doing this. Absolutely, it can't happen. But little by little, all of these things that have been said about the reason, the cause, all of this have been coming true. So it's really just a matter of time before we realize that there are some people that are actually owned. You can't detoxify this out of your body. Can't change this. Unless, of course, I was listening, maybe it was Dr. Dr. Ben Marble today was saying if you actually had your genetics or, you know, a copy of your DNA that you may be able to have a something made to where it would make your body right again. But I really don't think anybody has thought about that, because it's not not being told that's what we need. This is so harsh. Physicians for Informed Consent has a lot of information about this. Here's one of their photos. This is if the American people don't know full disclosure of the ingredients, then how can they have informed consent? They can't. Absolutely cannot. So if you can't have informed consent, then, of course, it violates the Nuremberg Code. Informed consent should absolutely be at the cornerstone of any medical procedure, and vaccinations are absolutely a medical procedure, because it doesn't matter which one you get. It could be any of them, the flu shot, the pneumonia shot, any of them. They have the ability to alter gene expression. And you need to know what's in there. You need to know. And I'm looking at this this FDA list for Comirnaty, the one that has the FDA approval, the one that's not even in production right now. And there are 6 blacked-out ingredients. Let's see. 2 blacked-out excipients and 4 blacked-out lipid components. Well, you know, heard about graphene oxide being hidden in the lipid component. There's nothing to prove that wrong. There's a lot of mouthpieces that are saying that it's not happening. However, where's the proof that it's not there? You know, scientists have been, you know, independent scientists all over the world have been studying vials. And that seems to come up an awful lot. A lot too often for it to just be a coincidence or a one-off experience. So you can't have informed consent if you don't know the ingredients. Most people don't care. Most people think, well, you know, I've had all of mine as a kid and I was just fine. Well, no, you're not. No, you're not. How many pills are you on for problems with your immune system? How many pills are you on for mental issues that could be caused by brain damage from the childhood schedule? Every single one of them has the ability to cause brain damage. How many people are on dialysis because their kidneys are affected? And it all started by overloading the kidneys with aluminum on day one of life with the hepatitis B shot. How many children are harmed because their mother took the flu shot? And 100% of that thimerosal will cross into the placenta. I mean, it's, you know, the thimerosal, the aluminum, those cross placenta easily and freely. So does graphene oxide. And that may be a big reason why 83% of the pregnant women in the study, you know, that have been reported, 83% of them have miscarriages. And we're not just talking like first trimester, 6 weeks along, you know, miscarriage. We're talking fully developed second term, you know, just growing infants just miscarried. And that's even happening in people that are in close proximity to those that have had the shots. Enough so that some chiropractors won't let recently vaccinated people into their practice if there's pregnant women. It's scary. We are in very scary times right now. So what can we do with local government to demand better accountability, especially with this subject? Who would we go to? Because, you know, I'm looking at the FDA and what can we do? What can we do? Or do you know? I mean, I know this is a question that definitely wasn't.
You know, that's one of those things that I would just have to really read and look more into, because I just don't know. I wish I had all of the answers. I so wish I had all of the answers. But, you know, I think that you know, one of the things that has just has become of the monster we've created in the way of the federal government just being worshipped, because that's what it is. You know, and I was guilty of it. I would vote in the federal elections thinking that those were the ones that mattered. And I would look at the ballots or the sample ballots that used to come to my door in my mailbox in California for local elections or local things to be voted on. And I would look at it and just scoff and toss it in the trash because I had no idea. I had no idea the value of the authority that local government had. You know, the best thing that we can do is, I'm probably going to get it wrong, who said it? I think it was Thomas Jefferson who said that the ground to liberty is gained by inches. And I used to be someone that was all or nothing. We either completely succeeded all at once in abolishing, you know, whatever alphabet soup agency, or nothing at all, because anything less than a complete abolition is just an abomination. And, you know, when I heard that, and I've heard it said in other ways, but just hearing it said in that way, the grounds to liberty are gained by inches. I really valued the wisdom in, let's take this one step at a time. Now, there's a couple of topics that I am not willing to compromise on. And that's okay, because we all have our topics. We all have our things. So when it comes to this, we've just got to start taking back the authority that the federal government has taken. And I don't know what that would look like. And I pray to God it doesn't look like something like a civil war, because a civil war is not going to turn out what we think it's going to turn out. There's so many people who are just so ready to take up their arms because they say the founding fathers would have been firing shots by now. But that's true. They tried. They tried very hard to get the British government and for the king to honor the different liberties and charters and constitutions that the British government had. Because the history of our Constitution and the history of America doesn't start with the Constitution. The history of the Constitution goes back to the 1100 Charter of Liberties in England. It goes way back. So we've got to start taking back that authority on our local level, taking back that authority on our state level, and just start dismantling some of these alphabet agencies, because the monster's been fed. The monster is huge, but the thing that can cut it off at its ankles is our states taking back that authority. That would completely cut the monster off at his ankles and restore the rights that are reserved for the states and the people back to the states and the people.
I'm so in awe, and I'm so thankful that you are on today. I hope for anybody listening, I hope this gets you to feel empowered enough to rise up, to become familiar with your local government, to make a point to be, you know, the commissioners. I took notes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I took a lot of notes. You know, to be there at the meetings. And if you really
I think we got cut off. Can you hear me? Are you still there? Hello? If you can hear me, I'm going to try to call back in because I can't hear anything.
Hey, and we are back. this, you know, we got dropped again.
We did.
So,
it happened last time, too.
Yeah, it sure did. It happened earlier today. I think there's been a little bit of an issue with this, but, you know, before I had the VPN, I would go on and it would sound like old school AOL dial-up, which, I mean, it's horrible in your ear, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It was awful, you know? So I don't use any Bluetooth. I don't use wireless. I try to do, you know, I've got the VPN. And so what we have left is it can be dropped. I think on my predictions episode, which was, you know, I'm still kind of getting into doing this, which I'm getting used to this as it is. But, you know, it just, you know, I was doing my predictions episode. I think that one lasted about 45 minutes. I think I got dropped somewhere about 30 minutes in. And I'm thinking, you know, this is it's going to be scary. You know, I think that's the one that I did talk about, the SUVs that can show up outside your home between 3 and 5 a.m. People that, yeah, I remember at one point I just got so tired of looking at them and being like, you know, because I didn't want to go to sleep with them out there, you know. So, you know, just going out, front porch, just holding my hands up in the air. And, you know, at this point I would videotape, but you know, there's really not, it's not necessary. I mean, there's other ways you can target people or target things. And, you know, a libertarian network goes against a lot of it goes against a lot of things that are being dictated right now. A libertarian network is a threat to the pre-recorded narrative. It's a dangerous virus. This dangerous virus comes from facts. No. If it did, Ozzy Osbourne would have created the very, very first one. And he did not. And that's not a dig at Mr. Osbourne. You know, I definitely listened to my share of him when I was much younger. It can be scary. You know, there's times when, you know, you have to fear for your own safety. You get hate mail. You get anonymous messages, you know, wishing bad things on your family. And it's scary, you know, and it makes a lot of people be very quiet. You know, I've known people that have been in the shower and, you know, they've had a kid in the hotel room, and the kid screams because somebody has entered the hotel room, and nobody at the hotel can explain how that person was able to enter. It's just very, you know, so much shadiness. You know, Brandy Vaughn with her, one of her last posts saying that her house was secured, and that if something happens to her, it's not suicide. And I mean, just going on and on and on. And before she, her body had even cooled off, there was some story about her having a gallbladder issue. You know what?
Yeah, I remember that.
There are enough people that know her that would have known about that. And you know who doesn't know about that? The people that would have known that, you know? If she had had an issue with that, you know, someone within the movement would have said, yeah, hey, that was an issue. No, it wasn't. You know, doctors that speak out, politicians that speak out, I mean, elected officials, look at what they've done to countries. You know, the African, it was the Tanzanian president that mocked the tests, saying that they don't need to have the shots come in because they are fine, they have sunshine, which, you know, vitamin D level is a very good indicator on how well you're going to survive through an illness. You have high vitamin D, you know, you're eating sustainable foods, you're eating foods that are good and compatible with your body, and you're used to elevate your cell levels, you know, your vitamin levels, you know, you're using all that. It might be tough. Some people may not make it, but a good portion of everybody is going to be just fine. You know, he just disappeared. And then what was it, a heart attack, something like that? I just disappeared. It's very, heart failure. Oh, there we go. Well, that's COVID skeptic leader died from heart attack. You know, not long after, I believe it was the Gates organization said something about how they were going to have to, what they were going to have to do to deal with him or whatever. And look for the exact quote. But, you know, it seems very, it doesn't even seem like it's a conspiracy, because he died and then within days, the WHO was in the country and videos started surfacing of people being chased and stabbed with the shots. And it's too much for it to be a coincidence. You know, I mean, you can't look at that and go, oh, yeah, no, straight up, he had heart problems. Yeah, totally did. You know, it's too, the timing after he had mocked it all. You know, tested some fruit and a goat.
Yeah.
And they both came back positive, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I like, okay, that's clever, you know? And now everybody is positive. So, you know, we really have to be very careful with our speaking. But, you know, if for every bit of the hate mail, the I hope you and your family die of the plague. Well, actually, some ancestors survived the plague, and it made them, you know, that's where the Delta deletion gene came from. They survived the plague, and if you have the Delta deletion gene, you are unable to contract HIV or smallpox. HIV and smallpox are very similar in structure, and you can't get it. And the first time somebody was actually cured of HIV was a man that underwent a bone marrow transplant from somebody that had the Delta deletion, a double Delta deletion, and it completely wiped out the HIV in his body, and that was in Germany. So the Delta deletion is there, and yeah, okay, plague. I have a direct descendant of somebody that survived it, because that's in my genes right there. I can see that. That's a nice gene to have. Okay, cool. But, you know, side note, you know. We get those notes, those messages. Oh, you know, you don't deserve to be alive, you know. Here we are, and we're still standing. And I've got 90 seconds left, so is there anything you'd like to promote or anything?
You know, I would just like to say that, you know, things are very likely to get darker, but we can't lose hope that every single time in history that tyranny has felt like it was going to overcome us as a people, that we have always risen up and rebelled against tyranny and reinstated and reasserted our rights and liberties. So just not to give up hope. You can find me personally on pretty much any social media at That Liberty Gal. And thank you so much for your time again today. Thank you.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for being on. And you know, this is a reminder that you absolutely have to keep hope alive. Keep on promoting liberty wherever you live. And, you know, my good friend Proof will be on in just a few seconds. So, you know, stay tuned and listen to the Proof Negative show on next.